remain standing for the reading of the scriptures together. And our text this morning will come from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 8. And from Isaiah chapter 8, we'll read verses 9 through 13. This is the word of him who came from our sins and fears to release us. Beginning with verse 9. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. And give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand. For God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me, with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, "Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." And this is the word of the Lord.
You
may be seated. So this is the word of him who came from our sins and fears to release us. Over the coming weeks and months, and for the rest of your days, it would be my earnest prayer that you would fear the Lord of hosts, and that you would seek him with all that you are and all that you have, that your love and reverence for Christ would only sweeten and deepen with every passing year. This is the word that's spoken regarding Emmanuel. Emmanuel, the one promised seed, that promised seed of the woman who would bruise the head of the serpent, that promised seed who would be named Jesus, that promised seed who would save his people from their sin, that Jesus who would be named God with us. Now, because of Emmanuel, because of that promised seed, because of this Christ, because of this Messiah, his cause remains intact. His kingdom remains unshaken. That's the kingdom of which you and I are members, of which you and I are citizens, of which you and I are a part. Here's the prophet Isaiah, and he is uttering, he is declaring to the surrounding nations that would come in with a fury and a flood. The king of Assyria would come. Sennacherib and his armies would come under the reign of Hezekiah, and they would come in sweeping all before them, besieging Jerusalem. And here is Isaiah speaking decades before. Look at verse 9. "Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered." And just in case the kings of the earth missed it, he repeats himself, "Strap on your armor and be shattered." Because of Emmanuel, the kingdom is secure. His cause remains intact. Shattered. This is the language that would be used of divine judgment. Broken. These are the words that would be used to describe the Lord asserting his will and sovereignty over the kings of the earth. Shattered. Broken. Take counsel together. Look at verse 10. "Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing." And indeed, the kings of the earth, they do gather. And they do take counsel together. And they do lift their fist in defiance against the Lord and against his Messiah, against his Christ. And what does the Lord do in response? Psalm 2, what does he do in response to the rage of the nations? He laughs. He laughs. Because their counsel will come to nothing. I'll speak a word, but it will not stand. Why? Why is it that the rage and besieging of the nations will fail? Why is it that opposition to Christ and to his reign, why is it that it will come to nothing? Look at this. Look at verse 10. "For God is with us." If you see the little footnote, you get a small number 3. If you're reading along in the English Standard Version in the Pew Bibles, there's a little footnote. Those footnotes are handy. You track the footnotes. Track it down to the bottom of the page. Look at footnote number 3. The Hebrew for "God is with us" is Emmanuel. Essentially, what has Isaiah done? Isaiah has asserted to the surrounding nations who would besiege Jerusalem, he has just uttered a name. And that's all it takes. At the name of Jesus, the nations tremble. At the name of Jesus, your heart quakes. At the name of Jesus, your hearing is stirred. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. The very name. Because of the name of Christ, because of Emmanuel, his kingdom is intact. His cause is secure. His care over your days, over your particular steps, his cause, his grace is unshaken. And your path is guarded. Your dwelling is shielded. The cause is intact. You and I are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And therefore we worship him with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire, the apostle says to the Hebrews. The cause is intact. Furthermore, to build on that, look at verses 12 and 13 to build on that. So because of Emmanuel, the cause is secure. The kingdom remains established. But to build on that, because of Emmanuel, Do not fear what the world fears. Look at this language. Look at verses 11 and 12. For the Lord spoke thus to me. Now, here's Isaiah. The Lord had spoken to him with a strong hand. The hand of the Lord had been mighty upon Isaiah. He had laid his grace, his favor, his might upon this man. The hand of the Lord was strong upon me, and he warned me. When the Lord speaks, what does he do? He warns. He had warned Isaiah. Look at verse 11. Warned me not. There are thou shalt nots in the Bible. There are do nots. There are ought nots. There are should nots. What has he said to Isaiah with a strong hand? Look at verse 11. He warned me not to walk in the way of this people, not to live as they live, not to think as they think. Okay, Isaiah has to have a house. He has to have a place to buy groceries. He has to have a place to walk, to live, to carry his children. Okay, he's not telling Isaiah to extract himself from Jerusalem, but he is telling him, do not walk in the way that they walk. Do not think the way that they think. And specifically, do not fear what your neighbors fear. Do not be gripped with the terror that grips your kinsmen. Do not be paralyzed with the fear of the people around you. So look at verse 12. Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. How do you, as Christians, if you're a Christian this morning, how do you maintain a distinct way of living? We're not going to move out of town, move away, metaphorically speaking. We're not going to move away. We live amongst these people. So how do you make yourself distinct? What do you do? Y'all, you and I are in the midst of a culture that is gripped by fear. Anxiety? Worry? Fear. What did we just sing? We just sang a prayer to thou long-expected Jesus, from our sins and fears, release us. You and I are in the midst of a people that fears pain intensely. We have a fear of pain. And so we put our trust in safety. Safety's sort of the holy grail of our culture. We fear pain, so we idolize safety. And we fear poverty, and so we place our trust in wealth and riches. We fear a moral standard. And so, therefore, we come up with self-made religion, self-made righteousness that adjusts the moral standard to something we're comfortable with. We are gripped by fear. Everywhere you look, people are paralyzed. And we sedate ourselves. Try to get rid of our fears through a whole host of idolatrous trusts, self-destructive habits. Listen to the word of Isaiah. Do not fear what they fear. Misplaced fears lead to a misplaced trust. What had King Ahaz feared? He had feared the alliance. He had feared the invasion from the Syrians and from the northern kingdom. And therefore, because of a misplaced fear, what had King Ahaz done? He had directed a misplaced trust to an alliance with the king of Assyria. The fear of man leads to a misplaced, even destructive trust in other things. What does the prophet Isaiah say? Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. From our sins and fears, release us. The cure for people pleasing is not to look inward. The cure for the problem of never being able to say no. You know, people ask you to do something and you don't want to hurt feelings, and so you say yes. That can happen on very tiny little things that don't really matter. That can happen on big things that have vital consequence. The cure for the fear of man is to be gripped with a greater fear. And you have to ask yourself this day before you leave your seat, whom will you fear? Everyone's going to fear something. Everyone is going to fear somebody. And that will be the one. That fear will be what dictates your actions, your decisions, your manner of life. Look at verse 11. That will determine the way that you walk. You choose you this day whom you will serve. Whom will you fear? Isaiah thunders away. And what does he say? Look at verse 13. The Lord of hosts. The covenant God of battles, the Lord of armies, him you shall honor as holy, him you shall fear. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Here is the message of the Bible. Here is the soul of true religion, the true knowledge of God. And it is the true answer for why you are placed on this good earth. Here it is. Fear the Lord of hosts. Stand before him with a trembling joy. That is what the psalmist says. Rejoice with trembling in Psalm 2. That is why the apostle Paul exhorts you to pursue sanctification, purity of heart, purity of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we have all these promises, all of these blessings that are given, all of these riches that are bestowed, since we have these promises, let us bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. Jesus himself is described as being clothed with this fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11. We'll get to Isaiah 11 in a few weeks. How is Jesus described in Isaiah chapter 11? The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So you and I have a question to ask. What is it to fear the Lord? When Isaiah says, him you shall honor as holy, let him be your fear and let him be your dread. What does he mean? Let him be your fear. What is it to fear the Lord and to even call Him your fear? He is described in the book of Genesis as the fear of Isaac. Let Him, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. When you look at the way the Bible describes the fear of the Lord, you have to think very carefully about definitions and make distinctions. You know, tonight we'll be in Psalm 49, thinking about true honor and false honor. But with this here, there is a true fear and there is a false fear. When He says to you, let Him be your fear, let Him be your dread, He is not telling you to be afraid of this God. Now, if you're outside of Christ, if you're an enemy of His, then yes, you should fear His judgments. But speaking to His children, speaking to His people, what does He mean? Well, He means that you stand before Him who is awesome in His beauty, awesome in His majesty. He is shimmering in His radiance. And just as you would stand before a scene in creation with a jaw-dropping, astounded awe, you stand before this God and you rejoice with trembling. Now, it is a quaking, it is an intense delight. No, you look at this Christ, you look at Him seated on the throne. What had Isaiah seen? Isaiah had seen Christ high and lifted up with the train of His priestly and royal robes filling the temple. Isaiah had seen Him. He had seen Christ. He spoke of His glory. And what had Isaiah done? Isaiah had seen Him and he trembled. The very foundations of the building trembled. And Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips. I live amongst the people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What is it to fear the Lord? It is to quake with an intense joy and delight, a love that cannot be withheld. It's not the love that you and I would have for a cup of hot chocolate. It's not the love that we would have for a favorite meal. No, it is the staggered, bewildered, dazzled, even at times overwhelmed to the point of confusion. You know, the apostles on the Mount of Transfiguration, they didn't know exactly what to do with the glory of Christ. It is to be overcome, overwhelmed with the intense glory of the Lord. That's the fear of God. It is the most intense form of love you can possibly imagine. It is the response to who He is. Not as you imagine Him to be, but who He is, who He has revealed Himself to be. Hallowed be Thy name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It is a response, a complete, comprehensive response to who He is. Has He not revealed Himself to you as the Creator, one who is robed in majesty? And do you not respond to His infinite power and might? Do you not respond to Him as the Redeemer? The fear of the Lord is to respond to Him as the Creator, to respond to Him as the Redeemer. What has He done? You are in the place of that lady in Luke chapter 7 who washes the feet of Jesus and dries them with her hair. You are in an intense, overwhelmed delight to the mercy and the goodness of God. You are responding. What is the fear of the Lord? It is to respond with everything that you are, body and soul. You respond to Him with your mind, with your affections, with your will, even with your hands and your feet and your eyes. You respond to Him with your mouth. You respond to the overwhelming glory of God as He's revealed in the gospel. That's why the psalmist will say in Psalm 130, "With you there is forgiveness that you might be feared." The fear of the Lord is a response to His sovereignty and His might, but it is also a response of intense, delighted love to His goodness and His kindness. With you there is forgiveness that you might be feared. That's the fear of the Lord. It's a response to who He has revealed Himself to be. And you are gripped with this quaking joy as you enter into the sanctuary. Psalm 5 describes directing your gaze toward the temple in fear. You worship Him in the fear of the Lord. There is a sacredness thrown over this assembly. Every time we cross the threshold, every time we walk in and take our seat, is there not an intense, sober radiance? Now, is there not a sacred reverence that is cast over every pew? It's the light of glory that shines down on His people on the Lord's day. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. And you have that delight in Him who is glorious in holiness as you enter the sanctuary. You're possessed by this quaking joy as you keep your vows, as you fulfill your oaths, as you walk with the Savior, as you walk in the way, as you pursue Christ, as you pursue holiness, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, by this quaking, trembling delight in His majesty, by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. What does the fear of the Lord do? It regulates your steps. It regulates your way. Look at verse 11, the way of this people. Now, there is a way. Walk in it. You experience this fear of God as you enter the sanctuary, as you take your vows, as you fulfill your oaths, as you walk with the Savior, as you hear His word. Did not the disciples walking on the way in Luke 24, did their hearts not burn within them as He opened to them the Scriptures? Have you not felt your own soul burn within you as the Scriptures are opened? Christian, have you not heard the voice of Christ speaking to you with a strong hand? And have you not felt your soul kindled, burning with a flame that is sacred and that cannot be put out? Have you not experienced that burning of the heart as the word is opened and explained to you, driven home with a strong hand by the Spirit of the Lord? Oh, you enter, you walk in this fear of God. What is the fear of the Lord? It is this quaking delight, trembling with joy, and it is experienced in every manner of life of the believer. Walking in the way, entering into the sanctuary, fulfilling your oaths, in your speech with those outside. The Apostle Peter exhorts Christians who are suffering. He exhorts them to speak, to sanctify the Lord of hosts. He's quoting this very verse.
Peter quotes this very verse, 1 Peter 3, verses 14 and 15. Be ready to give an answer for anyone who asks a reason for the hope that is within you. And you answer in the fear of God. And by the fear of the Lord, you enter the sanctuary. By the fear of the Lord, you regulate your words and even your tone of voice. By the fear of the Lord. The Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Let him be your most intense joy. On this day of all days, on this the Lord's day, would you be in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Then enter his sanctuary, approach his table, reach for the sacraments, reach for the bread and the wine in the fear of the Lord. Would you be gripped with the most intense joy you could ever possibly imagine? Then sing with a full-throated zeal, with a glory, with a fear, with a reverence, with a quaking delight in the glory of Christ. Look to him. Pursue him. Seek him. Let a sacred reverence be thrown over your steps this year. Let the fear of the Lord regulate your voice. Let it determine your actions. This is the very life and soul of true religion. Oh, that you would respond with all that you are and all that you have to the Lord of hosts, honoring him as holy. Would you pray with me? Oh, our gracious God, we would now bow before the majesty of your throne. We ask that by your Spirit you would give us to feel deeply the weight of our own sin. And then would you be the lifter of our head, Lord, that we might behold the glory of the Lord high and lifted up. And that we would honor you, sanctifying your name, blessing your name, reverencing your name as the one who is holy. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our elders would join me at